This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
All right, hour three here in the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Hour three powered by Low T Center, lowtcenter.com. This is where we broadcast every day, the Low T Center studio. Men, know your number. We are approaching Men's Health Awareness Month. That is the month of June. Enough procrastinating, enough trying to self-medicate yourself. You got to go with the experts, the folks that's been doing it the longest, that know what they're doing, that do it the right way. There are a lot of people popping up here and there trying to get a piece of the men's health pie, but they don't have the expertise, they don't have the knowledge, the experience, like the good people at the Low T Center like they have. So take advantage of the locations right here in Tennessee, one in Murfreesboro, two in Nashville, one in Tri-Cities, Chattanooga, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Farragut, Larry, and the crew. They do an awesome job. I think I have my appointment today, actually. So
there you go.
I'll be going, and I need it, man, because I'll be running 100 miles per hour.
Gotta stay right.
With Swain Event Plus, that, you know, we're supposed to be getting together with Von Pearson. That's going to be a really good conversation. We got Bryce that we got to talk to again. Everything that's dropped with Kirkland Jr. and Coach Fulmer's contract. So we'll have a really good conversation. So I need that energy. And you get that when your numbers are the way they're supposed to be. And Low T Center can help you do that. Let's get to the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. And let's get to Turkey Man. Turkey Man, good morning.
Turkey Man.
Good morning, individuals.
Hey, good morning, individuals.
What's up?
Hey, good morning. Hey, I went and get me a cup of coffee, come back. You had that for what going? You talk about planes, and I got to listening, and I thought, are they talking about coaching search and John Curry there for a minute?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John Curry basically was a prosperity preacher in a way.
Oh, he stole some money.
Yeah, he likes to take money and then, you know, kind of run off with it. So,
well, it does say in the Bible, lo, I'll be with you always. So I kind of go that route. I'll stay grounded if I can.
Well, hopefully, Turkey Man, this preacher that's getting his plane doesn't have the same problem as John Curry had, and not having Wi-Fi and not being able to be contacted by his superiors. I mean, he just, you know, 2018. He did not have access to Wi-Fi. Is what he said, and
gotta have that plane Wi-Fi.
I mean, he no one could reach him, but it was a Wi-Fi. He didn't have it. He didn't have Wi-Fi on that plane. That plane that went from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, there's no Wi-Fi.
Well, I hope the Swain Event Plus gets them a plane, and whenever you guys go to the SEC media days here coming up, that you just won't have to ride coach and you just fly down there.
That's a 35-minute flight to Atlanta.
Yeah, it's boom, boom.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? Drive like peasants?
Well,
come on.
How long would it take Ben to fly down there?
If Ben was a pilot, probably an hour. If Ben McKee was a pilot of a plane, add 30 minutes to the flight.
I hope he heard that.
Yeah.
A little inside joke about how slow Ben is as a driver.
I appreciate that trainer deal there, Charlie. I seen that, and I didn't understand what a football trainer was, and appreciate being educated there this morning. I DM'd you there and said, what is a football trainer?
And I'm glad. I'm glad you brought it to my attention, because I had actually missed Austin dropping that little tidbit. So I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, well, man. Austin been dropping some dimes as of late. So good job to Austin Price over there at VolQuest.
So the word of the day is that plane, with planes, and when you jump out of the plane, you all are Geronimo.
There you go.
Yeah, now you can do that.
There you go.
Or like my kids, you can be yelling cannonball.
Cannonball.
Off the couch.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was what they were doing yesterday.
Onto what?
Floor.
Oh.
Yeah, the couch in there, they were jumping onto the floor. I mean, it's carpet, but they were jumping right onto the floor.
There's still a slab under there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I said, stop. All right, y'all, stop. Okay, it's enough. Get off the couch. And then I was like, you know what? Go ahead and fall.
Yep.
And hurt yourself so that way I can say, I told you so. You're going to learn the day.
That's just
and
like.
And then you'll listen.
You're playing tackle football with your buddy one-on-one growing up. Mom keeps yelling downstairs, you got to quit. You got to quit. And the next thing you know, your friend's having to go get your mom because you're laying there unconscious because he upended you and you have a concussion on that concrete slab.
We've all been there.
Sometimes you need to burn your hand for you to know not to touch the stove.
He does no roughhousing signs of the public pool. That was an incident from my childhood. My two front teeth are fake because I did not. You know, you learn those lessons.
So you got like Mr. Wilson's chiclet teeth?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, they're about 75% fake.
Mr. Wilson!
Can't even tell, man.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Shout out to my dentist.
Speaking of that, man, wait a minute.
Dennis the Menace.
Wait a minute, Charlie. How did I miss this? You spoke of a pool. How did we miss this on For What?
We had a bunch of people send this to us. And yeah, I forgot to put this on.
What are we doing with our lives?
I thought y'all got this yesterday.
No, we did not. That this lady, this has to be in Florida. Yes.
Of course.
It happened in Florida. Orlando Sentinel reported. Oh. They have extensive statutes regarding pool safety. This lady, my goodness, you disgusting human being, you. This woman at the public pool.
This honestly made me want to
decided to whip out her shaver and shave her legs in a hotel pool.
That's the
what you talking about?
What
you talking about?
That's disgusting.
What?
Just like shaving and dipping and like washing it out in the shallow end?
Yeah.
Just post it up against the steps.
Where is the awareness? This lady, if she was on Madden, her awareness would be -5. Her awareness.
It's horrifying. Like,
that agility wouldn't be -10.
Genuinely, if I saw this, like I am the type of person that, you know, if I'll confront somebody in public. I'm not scared to make a scene. You know, if I got a bad waiter, I'll tell them I don't think they're good. If I, you know, if there's something I see in public, I'm not afraid to kind of go up and get involved. If I saw that, I don't know what I would do.
I would be irate.
I would
have
not,
to say something.
Yeah, I would not be the person just taking a video. I'd be like, you nasty cretin.
Yes.
Get out of here.
Somebody like, boot this woman.
Public. That woman would need public humiliation.
Because if you're comfortable doing that, Lord knows what else you're comfortable doing.
You got no
Lord
shame.
Lord knows what else you're doing in this pool.
Yeah.
Seriously, I would take it to that level. If I see a grown woman shaving her legs in a public pool. This isn't out back in your house, which is still disgusting. This isn't a private pool in a private residence. This is a public pool. It's not okay to do it any of those other places, but this is the worst of the worst. Lord knows what else she does.
You know, I'm
get her out of my area.
I'm the guy in a pool that if I have to use a bathroom, I get out.
You have to.
And I go to the bathroom.
You have to.
But no one would know. If I didn't go to the bathroom, I could just do it right there. No one would know.
Gross.
Unless you have like that chlorine that turns colors.
Don't talk about that.
But like we've all done that growing up where you're just like, that was warm. No.
Just don't tell anybody.
No one knows. That's one thing. But to whip out your razor, prop your big old leg up on the side of the pool, and to shave your legs, lady. What is wrong with you? Yeah, she deserves to be called out. I can't believe we let that slide this long. That's just disgusting.
Mm.
But it's in Florida, so what do you expect?
My goodness.
It's in Florida.
I had to give a for what to a comment made on a quote tweet of mine that was redirected to my Facebook. All my tweets go to my Facebook. It was Tuesday right after the show. We had a lot of conversation about LeBron. And throughout all national media outlets, at least when it comes to sports, you're getting a lot of the what? The GOAT debate. The Michael versus LeBron comparisons, right? It's overwhelming sports media right now. So I see this tweet. It's from Doug Russell, verified Twitter account. He tweeted, he never gets hurt. He never gets in trouble. He's donated millions to make his community and world a better place. He's a dedicated family man. If you're still looking at something to pick on LeBron James for, that says more about you than him. GOAT emoji and then hashtag NBA. This is a basketball tweet. So I quote tweet it, round of applause, agree with it, truth, all of that and stuff, what have you. I get a comment on Facebook about 10 minutes later. I'm not going to say who, but I'm going to read it directly. Or maybe you don't like athletes to be political. Or maybe you don't like athletes to be liberal. He's only, and I did half of the people that are passionate about politics and all of the people who are passionately against politics. Didn't make sense. I'm just reading this verbatim. Also, not getting in trouble shouldn't be particularly praiseworthy. Here it is, folks. I've never been arrested either. Now, I'm not going to go through my entire response. I let a lot of comments go unanswered. But I couldn't let this one go unanswered. As you guys know, probably of the four of us on Swain Event, I'm the least active on social media.
For sure.
I'm more partaking, getting my own viewpoints, getting my own thoughts. I don't really redirect everything I think to social media. I said, to me, your comments don't make sense. This take makes no sense. My quote tweet was purely about basketball, pertaining to the GOAT debate, as I mentioned heading into this conversation. In no way, shape, or form was it political. You took it there? How? I have no idea. Finally, and I honestly never thought I would have to tell a grown man this, LeBron James has been in the media spotlight since he was 14 years young. Interviews, documentaries, cameras everywhere all the time. His most, keyword most, scrutinized act is leaving Cleveland for Miami. Considering all of that, I find it very impressive that his nose, to our knowledge, is still clean. Good for you about not getting arrested, though. You, me, and millions of other normal people have that in common. I couldn't let it slide.
No, he deserves it. You know, I think about Tom Maravanovich. Mm-hmm. Maravanovich, whatever his name.
Maravanovich.
Yeah. He was like this golden child quarterback.
God's gift to football. Went to USC.
And yeah. All this pressure at a young age, you know. And
stuff.
And just there's so much pressure from his father. And he just collapsed. He just collapsed. I remember when Jimmy Clausen came out of high school, and they compare him to LeBron James coming out. Like he was the golden child. I remember the articles. And Jimmy had a great career at Notre Dame, but he didn't do much in the NFL. Like, just to be able to exceed expectations with that pressure, like you mentioned. I remember the guy got in trouble because his mom had a Hummer. There, when he was in high school, no problems. Didn't get arrested. As much as we love Brett Favre got addicted to pills. Had to like go to rehab 2 or 3 times, and you know had that little incident there with the photo of himself and stuff like that. Like to be up here and to have all this, have this power, have all this attention, to not slip up.
All these eyes on you all the time.
My goodness, what Peyton has been able to do, you know, Tom Brady for the most part, except for the Deflategate, that's not even a really big deal. But for LeBron James to take a whole entire state and put it on his back, like Cleveland downtown area, the money that he's pumped into that city.
Remarkable.
Bills hundreds of houses for families, sends many people to school, spends millions of dollars in donations, 3 beautiful children. He's taking care of his kids. Like, he is reversing. Like, he's reversing. I guess the
norm.
The norm. And he's changing the narrative. I mean, LeBron's dad, I was telling my wife this other day, imagine being LeBron James' dad and, like, having to not watch television because your son is everywhere. And that could have been you, man. That could have been you involved, but you're not because you were not around.
Not just-
and he's just changing the narrative. Like, that's my motivation. Like, with my, you know, kind of with my kids, it's like, I wasn't raised by my mom or dad. I know it's affected me in some ways negatively, but also it's affected me positively because I had someone like my great uncle that served like my mom and my dad and taught me so much. But there's nothing like being raised by your mom or dad. Nothing. And that's what I want to provide for my kids. And LeBron is doing that. Like, he's changing the cycle. And if you don't like LeBron because of his crybaby antics, that's fair.
And that's my point behind all of this. Every point that Doug Russell mentioned, the injury thing, the gets in trouble thing, the donation of millions, the community service, the dedicated family man, all of those are points that you can directly put up against MJ when you're talking about the GOAT debate. This was a basketball tweet. How politics even got involved, I'm not sure.
I leave most of that out when I talk about that. But
Michael Jordan had a gambling problem.
Oh, very much so.
That's really what I'm saying. A lot of these things you can compare to MJ alone.
I mean, there's a conspiracy theory out there that a lot of people don't think is even a conspiracy theory. I haven't seen enough evidence, but
yeah,
that,
I ain't gonna go there.
That his, but this is how bad it is. The fact that this conspiracy theory to a lot of people holds up. This is how bad his gambling problem was, is that people think the murder of Michael Jordan's father was related to Michael Jordan's gambling problem.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
I've seen people have dove deeply into that. Like, that's how bad it was that people think that was the case. I mean, it was, and maybe still is really bad. Obviously we don't know what he does in his free time. But
even on, like, the political part of it, honestly, I think both sides are stupid, ridiculous. I'm neither, to be honest. But
same.
I have a lot of respect for athletes on either side of the aisle who go out of their way to speak their beliefs, their conscience. People who say, you know, stick to sports. Well, you stick to being a plumber then. Or you stick to being a teacher. You stick to being a – shut up. They're a human being. They're a citizen. They should not just stick to sports. They should be conscious of what's going on. I have more respect for the athlete that is conscious regardless of what side they stand on because they really don't have to be. They got a lot of money. They don't have to do anything. They can just enjoy their money. Exactly. But they're using their platform to speak for those that don't have a voice. Now, you can tell if they're being irresponsible or not. LeBron so happened to side with one side. And, hey, if he believes in that person and the values, then good. I'm not going to dislike him for that, even if a player was on the opposite side and believe. At least they are conscious enough. They've done their research. They believe in something, and they stand for it. The reason why, when I got older, I stopped liking Michael Jordan as much, because he has turned his back and his head on so many issues when he was playing that all he cared about was making money in basketball. And that's cool. I ain't faulting you for that. But as I got older, and I kind of realized how important you are as a role model and how your voice matters, I've had a greater respect for the Jim Browns, for the Bill Russells of the world, for those guys. And I can't stand OJ, even before even without the murder stuff. I think OJ was a clown, even taking that away.
He's just who he needed to be in the moment.
Yeah, he's a clown. And you want to forget who you are just because you're having a little bit of success? Like, man, forget you. Even without the murder stuff. With the murder stuff, OJ can go somewhere. But, like, I have a respect for folks that put in the time and effort to stand up for what they believe in. And it may not be what I agree with all the time, but I respect the athlete because they don't have to do it. They can just go to work, make millions of dollars, and live in their own world and not care about anybody else.
The only part of that that bugs me, and I'm right there with you. I appreciate when anyone with a platform like LeBron has can be informed and can provide their political opinions. What bugs me in that is when they speak their political opinion and then they get criticized by whoever doesn't agree, and then whoever is supporting, you know, whoever supports Bron in that realm is like, well, he's just an athlete, you know, you can't criticize him for that, because when you speak out like that, you got to be ready to take the criticism. I think there's nonsense on both sides. There's nonsense from the other side that says, you know, just shut up and play your sport, and then there's other people that say, well, you can't criticize him, he's just an athlete. No. When you get in the political discourse, you got to be ready to get into the political discourse.
My
you
point
know?
Behind all of that is the timing of everything. This is timing.
That's
what
a hater.
Is being discussed right now?
Oh, that's a hater.
The GOAT debate. That's a hater. The comparisons between Michael and LeBron. This is basketball. Hashtag NBA. Basketball emoji. GOAT emoji. You're taking it way out of context. I didn't have anything in that reply by said individual pertaining to basketball. It was almost like he took my response or this tweet by Doug Russell as a personal attack. And it had to go to politics because that was something that he disagreed with. And he had to find something to scrutinize.
Imagine you not taking your circle or your workplace or whatever, that if everyone that you disagree with politically, you didn't, like, you stopped liking them. Like, you split, like, you wouldn't have any friends, probably.
It's appreciation of greatness. Swain and I both are dedicated, hardcore Bulls fans. Who did Michael Jordan play for?
Bulls, man.
You can still respect the man.
And let me say, I'm a LeBron hater. And I make no qualms about it. I do not like his demeanor on the court. I think he's pretentious and ridiculous. Like I said, I harped on it earlier this week about how he blocked that shot and then stood there like a moron.
I still think he was taking a breather.
And quit on a play. He might have been.
Made it look good.
He was. He's playing it off.
I'm just talking about basketball. I'm purely talking about basketball. I can respect everything that dude does off the court because, like Brad has said, he does, you know, tons of charity work. He is a good family man, as far as everyone knows. And
to our knowledge, his nose is clean.
Exactly. And I have to respect that because
remarkable.
I mean, you look at things like child stars, and make no mistake, LeBron was a child star. He's having his butt kissed from the time he's 13 years old, you know, and that can turn out very, very badly, and LeBron has handled it, I think, as gracefully as possible, I would say.
Hey, look at
he has, like I said, he's gotten pretentious in his old age. He thinks LeBron likes himself some LeBron, but that's okay.
That's a defensive mechanism of everyone has criticized you over and over and over. LeBron turned, like, he turned heel when he went to Miami, and he embraced being a villain. And, like, I'm okay with LeBron. It's like a media member who they're really trying to be nice. They're a good person. But because of maybe a story that they write or article that they put together, it's an opinion, it could be a fact, they get so much crap. So then they have to develop a hard shell because they take so much stuff. And then they sometimes come out swinging a little bit, and now they get labeled as like a butthole. Well, no, man, they take crap all the time. And LeBron has taken crap all the time about how he's not good enough, how he's not clutch enough, every minute of every day,
you can find something new about somebody trashing on LeBron.
We've seen the same thing, the same change happen in Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has turned into a butthole to people because he's been criticized so much to where he's like, you know what? I'm going to give some of it back to you. I'm not going to just let you just run over me.
Which at times is fun to watch.
That's what happened to LeBron, man. It's happened with LeBron. That's why he is what he is right now. And honestly, I don't really blame him. All right, got to go to break. We'll call up Trey Wallace. Hopefully he is not, you know, in the middle of doing a Q&A SEC Periscope video right now, something like that. Maybe we'll be able to get him. He's so busy. He's traveling around the country, talking to folks, putting together articles, getting information. Let's see if we can get him on the phone. Swain Event, be right back.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerry Castile with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerry Castile is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castile a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jerrica Steele and Butler Vines and Babb fight for you.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles. Plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
If you've been thinking about getting a new mattress, don't wait. Shop any Better Mattress location right now. They are doing major spring cleaning. Over half the floor is half off. Get that guest bed you've been thinking about for a great price at Better Mattress. They're making way for new inventory and have incredible deals that won't last. The Swain Event listeners get the first chance. The sooner you go in, the more choices you'll have. These are going to go fast. With just 2 weeks before new models hit the floor, Better Mattress needs to make room, and you are hearing about it first. Shop the spring cleaning liquid sale at Better Mattress right now. Half the floor is half off. Good night. Just got better. BEDRmattress.com.
Gentlemen, when it comes to health and quality of life, there are numbers every man needs to know, including our testosterone number. I recommend going to Low T Center. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's covered by most health insurance. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. It can raise your cholesterol, cause weight gain, and loss of muscle mass. Low T Center's physicians specialize in treating low T in men. Listen to me here. They know men's health and are reinventing men's health care. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
Trey Wallace from the Reed Optional here on the Swain Event. Feel My Daddy and Barbecue. Great article here on readoptional.com. Trey, you got a chance to talk to Maurice Smith. When you look at Brandon Kennedy wanting to be a grad transfer from Alabama and possibly go to Tennessee or Auburn, Maurice Smith comes to mind because he did leave Alabama to Georgia. Wow, what an article for him to be able to sit down with you and open up and give you as much detail as he did during that article. But first, man, congratulations and welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Good to be on with you all up there in Knoxville. Just got out of that area yesterday and back in the mid-state. But, yeah, man, it's that article was the way Maurice Smith opened up to me just about, you know, and I didn't pressure him too terribly much, you know, about, you know, I just wanted to know the grad transfer rules and everything that he went through when it comes to the appeals process. And he really opened up to me, and it was kind of surprising to me, and it made for a great article. And also, just for people to understand exactly, you know, what's going on down at Alabama, you know, how this process plays out, and, you know, maybe along the lines of what Brandon Kennedy's going through right now, you know, trying to get his release from Alabama or get that waiver from the SEC to be able to transfer. And man, you know, Maurice Smith really laid it out there, guys.
Did Maurice talk about maybe –
any advice he would give Brandon Kennedy? Has he talked to Brandon Kennedy? Are they buddies? Are they friends? Do they know each other? It seems like Brandon Kennedy could at least, you know, learn some things from Maurice Smith with his situation.
Yeah, I don't think they've spoken, but it comes to a term of, he did lay it out there kind of towards the end of talking to him on the phone, is just keep pushing. If this is something that you want to happen, you have to keep grinding. You have to get this thing to the SEC, which will ultimately, they'll ultimately give a waiver for him to be able to transfer, but it's going to be a process. Look, if Nick Saban in Alabama is going to hold this up, then it's going to be a process. And look, we've seen instances in the past 2 years where coaches at schools have given that waiver and that clearance, or actually it's just kind of like a release. What we saw, I think it was last year, we saw David Williams, running back from South Carolina. He transferred to Arkansas. Will Muschamp didn't put up any kind of fight. He wished the man good luck. And, and here's the thing. Arkansas played South Carolina last season. So there wasn't anything like on the schedule where it says, oh, you can't transfer here because we play you. Will Muschamp just said, okay, go do your thing. So I think this whole, I don't know, air about it where it says that, oh, well, you know, it's up to the SEC and they've got to make the ruling. When I really look at it and you look at past instances, also Derek Mason's done it, really it's just up to the coach saying, okay, cool, more about it, you can go ahead and go. You know what I mean? We're not going to hold you back. So I think that's where things are getting a little tricky here, because we've seen it in the SEC before, and we've seen it not have to go all the way to the appeals process with the SEC commissioner. And Nick Saban seems to just be holding things up again.
Talking to Trey Smith here of the ReOptional, ReOptional.com, his story, him and Oliver Conley, their story with Maurice Smith. The choice between staying or fighting, transferring inside the conference, and Maurice Smith had to basically go up against Nick Saban, which may not be the smartest thing to do. What is like Maurice Smith's status with maybe Alabama, the people that he formed relationships with, you know, teammates, other folks? How are those relationships today? Did he mention?
He's still talking to teammates. We talked about it on the phone, about 15 minutes before, we sat down for, the Q&A. He still talks to you from Alabama. Look, he mentioned it right there at the beginning of our conversation that he holds all debt to Nick Saban for getting him to where he is today when it comes to being a player. And I think that goes a long way when we're talking about, where he's standing as a man today with the Miami Dolphins and what he learned from Alabama. Things just lined up for him. He's working to finish up his master's degree now. Georgia offered a program that Alabama didn't. And also, let's not forget about the relationship that he had with Coach Kirby Smart. And I think that goes a long way when you're talking about somebody wanting to transfer. And look, he lived up to the billing when it comes to, hey, I'm not going to get in trouble. You're not going to have any problems out of me, coach. I'm going to graduate in 3.5 years, and I'm going to go do my thing. So it basically comes down to it. He still talks to people in Alabama. He says that he thinks he'd be welcomed back in with open arms if he came back on campus. It's just a situation where he thought he could better himself. And Kirby Smart in Georgia were right there. And it took him a while, man. I mean, 3.5 to 4 months from when this thing started. And I'm talking, he's sleeping on the floor with Hootie Jones at his apartment. He's trying to get extra plates sent to him from the training room, nutrition room, working out in the rec center by himself. And, things were just, it was a living nightmare for him. And it finally came to fruition. He said, he kept fighting. And they went into that last meeting with the SEC. And, him and his mom really thought that this thing was going to be over. I'm not going to be able to transfer. All of a sudden, they come out of the meeting and Greg Sankey releases a statement saying that he can transfer, he's giving him the waiver. So I don't really like the whole stance know, after talking with him and a few others, I don't really like the whole stance Nick Saban's kind of taking on, hey, look, I can't do anything about it. I'm just following the rules. No, that's not the case. We've seen coaches in the SEC previously do this. You just kind of want to agitate everybody is the best way to put it.
Yeah, that's my next question, Trey. Did your perception or maybe view of Nick Saban change hearing kind of what Murray Smith had to go through? Remember, Nick Saban was the guy that was in his living room telling him how much they were going to treat him like family and take care of him and stuff like that. And when Murray Smith wants to go better himself and you know, get a better opportunity, family's supposed to say, okay, well, because I care about you, I'm open to you maybe doing that, even though if it doesn't benefit me. Did it change maybe your perception of Nick Saban?
I think, look, it's an interesting question because we all know Nick Saban. You know, he puts on that persona on the outside. You know, we see who he is as a football coach on the inside. I'm sure he's a fun-loving granddad and husband, but look, I mean, when it comes down to it in football, you know, he's marking his legacy and he's trying to go down and finish things up on a note that makes him who he is. And that's just a hard-nosed coach who doesn't want to give in to anything. And I don't know if it changes my perception on him because we've always, you know, we've kind of seen Nick Saban like this. I'm not going to say it's all about, you know, the football players, but he's kind of making it about it. When it comes to, you know, winning championships and get the players on campus, let the coaches go to work and do their thing. And that's why, you know, we've seen a lot of players transfer out of Alabama as well over the last couple of years. So, you know, you take a step back and you look at it, and I don't think they're broken promises because Nick Saban, you know, you get brought in. If you're a freshman, you're going to play immediately, and we've seen that. But I think Nick Saban as a whole, I don't know if he's going to take a big hit on this, but it also just does not make him look good at all.
Yeah. Trey, I know you got to go, man. Thanks so much for your time. And before you leave, how can people get your stuff there, see your article? How can people follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, you can follow go to thereadoptional.com. You can follow me at Trey Wallace. _SEC, and we'll be putting up some content over here the next 2 days. And I appreciate you guys having me on. Hope you'll have a wonderful day there in East Tennessee, and we'll be talking soon.
All right, man. Trey Wallace here on the show. Really appreciate his
Always
time.
Always a pleasure.
Let's get back to the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline, and let's bring in Roberto. Roberto, good morning, sir.
You're just lining up powerhouse after powerhouse, Swain. What can I say?
That's right, man. Got you waiting in the weeds there. We say the best for last.
That's right. Trey Wallace is truly a great, great writer, and I've always enjoyed Read Optional.
Yeah, he does a good job, man.
He was breaking a lot of stuff during that coaching search, too, which was really fun.
Yeah,
So, as far as I heard you say, Saban was in there telling him, we're going to treat you like family and blah, blah, blah. And then he tries to leave. And, and Trey was defending Saban and saying, I'm sure he's this. No, he's not. He's an awful person, people. And that is how he would treat his family. He's an awful person.
Preach.
He treated him exactly like he would treat his own kids.
Hey, maybe. Maybe.
He's an awful person.
I don't know how he treats his own kids, but he is a hypocrite, man. I mean, that's what we can agree
He's who he needs to be in the moment.
And it's one of the things that I can't stand about college football is how hypocritical coaches can be. And it's really good for the real coaches because there's only a few of them. The real coaches out here, you know, they stand out the most. The Dabo Sweeneys, the guys like him stand out because the most of them are hypocrites. They are.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I hate about college football is how you can sit in a living room with someone's mother, father, grandma, whatever, say all this stuff, and then when they get to campus, Man, you act brand new. That is that's one thing I cannot stand.
Butch Jones. Butch Jones.
I can't stand it, man.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
So, and Jason, that really leads me to, if there was one man that could affect that change, why does it come down to me? Why is it my fault? Why is it up to me? Why is it up to me? It is because he's the most powerful man in college football, and I don't care what anybody says.
Easy.
Nick Saban is the most powerful man in college football.
Oh, without a doubt, Roberto.
100%.
He's probably the most powerful man in college athletics.
It would be hard to dispute.
Yeah, powerful. Yeah, definitely powerful coach. He's the most powerful coach in athletics. There's no doubt about it.
But, I mean, if it came down to him versus Mark Emmert, I believe it's Mark Emmert.
Yep.
I don't know if he's the NCAA commissioner or not anymore, but if he is.
He is.
Like, who's going to win that argument? It's obviously Nick Saban.
Because Nick Saban is basically doing what he wants to do anyways, and he's winning.
Exactly.
Why, like, Nick Saban could do this. Nick Saban could round up, starting with his own president, and get other presidents on board around the country, and they can separate from the NCAA, and they can start their own league. Nick Saban has that ability. He has that power. But why would you if you're Nick Saban? He doesn't have to. He's winning.
Yeah, I hate Alabama, okay? Hear me say that?
No.
But they are
no
the
way.
Most interesting. Yeah. they're the most dominant dynasty in sports today, including the Golden State Warriors. And you look at what they've done, and you're exactly right, Jason. If Alabama decided to leave college football, it would cripple college football. It really would. It'd be like removing its left leg. Okay?
True.
Because every year in, year out, while he's there, they're gonna be in the, I mean, they've literally played in every playoff that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
So, I hate them, but I respect them because they're doing it different and they're not getting caught cheating, or he's got the power that when they do, he's able to overturn that. And lastly, guys, I don't want to sound like a heartless a-hole, but I'm going to. This Jamal Lewis thing, it's becoming really prevalent and almost to the point, and not just him, but all concussions that were becoming numb to it. And I don't want to become numb to it, but at the same time, guys, and I just want to—I'll take your answer off air. I as a father of triplets, who has a job, actually had two jobs. You know, I don't feel as bad for a guy whose paycheck in a year will be more than I'll make in two lifetimes. I really struggle with that, and I know they didn't quote unquote sign up for this. But at the same time, you know football from the day one, from the days in the 30s and 40s. You know it's a rough game. You know you're going to have physical repercussions of that. I'm not saying mental. I know they didn't sign up for that. But I have a hard time feeling bad for those guys when they just rake it in. I mean, the league minimum is like 460, guys. 1 year in the league is what is like, what, eight times what the normal American median income is.
It's more,
I really struggle with that.
It's more than that, actually. But I understand where you're coming from.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I do. If you are Roberto.
I get that. Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from. But let me share a different side of the coin.
Please do.
Number one, money is not everything.
No, it is not.
When Biggie wrote the song, More Money, More Problems, he ain't lying. More money, more problems. My best friend had $1.7 million stolen from him. Is it his fault? Absolutely, it's his fault. At the end of the day, it's his money. But, boy, it would have been helpful if he had some people the right people around him. And, you know, maybe he had some better education about how to deal with that. I don't know if that was available to him. When you come from, again, a cycle where you're raised by a single mother, and that single mother not necessarily a millionaire, so how is she going to help that much herself? These things tend to happen. We automatically think that just because someone has a lot of money that they don't have issues, they don't have problems. I know one of the upper management folks for the Oklahoma City Thunder a couple years ago ran himself into a wall and killed himself because he had issues going on. We've seen this all, you know, we see it in Hollywood. People take their own lives, and we assume that because they have a lot of money, they should be happy. Why? Because we don't have a lot of money, and sometimes that's the reason why we're not happy. But when you get it, you realize that it's more than just having a bunch of money. And I have a lot of guys who made a lot of money at the next level. I know other folks who make a lot of money too. And we just assume that if you make a lot of money, that means you're just happy. Now let me answer the "you know what you signed up for" comment, because that's a popular thing to say with fans, and I understand that. Do you know that the game is physical? Yes, you know that you can probably break your leg, or you can break your arm. But you will get better. Like, you'll recover.
But when did we learn about CTE?
But CTE is a different ball game, because once that information became readily available, you started to see people think about it, and they start retiring early. People are talking about not letting their sons play ball. Mm-hmm. If this CTE information was available like it is now, back when Jamal was coming up and deciding to play football, you don't see the same Jamal going to the league and playing as long as he did.
You see a lot of different approaches to this game.
Yeah.
And that, I'm really happy you said that, because that's the one thing I wanted to point out with Roberto.
Yeah. You know,
love Roberto as a fan and as a caller, but that needed to be said.
Oh, yeah. You know the game is dangerous.
CTE is new knowledge.
But you don't know that, man, this concussion, that in 25 years, you're going to look at your kids and not know who they are.
And regardless, regardless of the amount of money, you can hundreds of millions or a couple hundred thousand, it is not worth, to me, losing my mind when I'm middle-aged, when I have a family, and you're supposed to be enjoying those years. To lose your mind and not even know it, maybe, and your wife's trying to help, but like she's in an awkward spot, you could change your entire family dynamic from something you couldn't even control. Not worth it, in my opinion.
You don't know that in 15, 20 years that your wife is scared of you because you have this uncontrollable anger that comes out of nowhere, and it all happened within like a year. You were the most loving, sweet husband ever, and then like all of a sudden, because of your brain, you become angry and you're forgetful. And like, I have a teammate right now, Aaron Sears. I have a teammate, we were roommates for a semester, that I recruited to come here and helped and came on multiple trips to Knoxville just to help Tennessee recruit Aaron Sears. Aaron Sears, if I walked up to him, he would not know who I was. He is not being taken care of by, like, his family. He's in a facility right now in, like, South Georgia being tended to because, like, he can't function. I really doubt that he knew that this game will cause you to be like that. Because, I'm sorry, there's not an amount of money that's worth that.
So going back to the point, and that at least I got out of that call, I feel terrible for an entire era and behind them, because they had no information on this. They had no knowledge. Yeah, there's risk. It's physical. You're gonna have these injuries. You may break a couple bones, and you're gonna get a couple concussions. But what are a couple concussions?
I mean, one is not that big a deal, but we're
learning more and more.
Yeah, it's the compound effect of you having concussions. We can just go to the top. We're gonna take a break. It's 9:53. But it's the small concussion here, and another one here, and another one here, and after 10 of them, you're not the same person. It's a compound effect,
and it's different with everyone, because I think you saw, was it David Ash, quarterback for Texas a couple years ago, I think he only had something like 3 concussions in his college career.
That were recorded, yeah.
And and then he bowed out. He quit. He quit the game of football because he started having concussion symptoms when he didn't have a concussion. And he said, whoa, I gotta get out of football. So it affects people. You know, everyone's brain is different. And so 2 concussions could do it for somebody. And you're going to have these CTE problems. Or it could be, I think with a lot of the linemen and someone like a running back, it's that that hit that you take 15 times a game. For linemen, it's, you know, 40 times a game.
So much more than that hit that
you take. Yeah, I was trying to think of like the amount of snaps in each game for one side of the ball, but you know, it's just that repeated hit. It's different things for different people every single time. Everyone's brain is different, and it's scary stuff. I'm right there with you guys. Like I just have to value the man's humanity. Yes, the money makes stuff easier for sure. That's good for Jamal Lewis's family if this ultimately becomes a problem that takes him away. I guess I'll put
and
it
if
that
you
way.
Haven't read this story, but it's on Bleacher Report. It's on Swain's Twitter. It's on my Twitter. Definitely go check it out.
I'm not saying this because I'm not coming at Roberto at all when I say
no, and I'm not trying to.
No, either. No.
CT is a very sensitive subject.
When I say this, like, I just want to make sure that Roberto knows I'm not coming at him when I say this.
No, much love
just,
to Roberto.
Just a difference of opinion.
I haven't even said it yet. Let me say it. On a human level, I don't understand how you could look at someone that's going through depression, memory loss, and the things that Jamal Lewis is going for and not feel somewhat empathetic and feel sorry for him a little bit, even if he did know. Imagine being a father, being a husband, and not remembering the people in your life who matters their name. Just stop and think about that. Like we go around and we talk about how good we are as people, and you know, we like to, you know, portray this image that we're nice and we're good and we're about the right values and things like that. But when it comes to showing empathy, oh, we don't want to do it. I don't understand on a human level. How can you not look at Jamal Lewis's case and go, man, 40 years old. He has another 40 years to go of this. Like, he's going to live like this for another 40 years if he's lucky.
Progressing.
That's sad when you think about it. It ain't even about the money. It ain't about the money. Because no amount of money can fix that.
Nope.
No amount of money can fix that. Like, Junior Seau could not fix that. You cannot fix that. You get one body. And that's what people don't understand is, yeah, they're rich, but all the money in the world doesn't give you your new body. You know, it's one thing that
I've never heard of a brain transplant.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if you got like an ugly nose, you don't like your nose. Cool, you can get a new nose. Or if you don't like the way your eyes look, okay, well you can get
colored contacts,
you can get plastic surgery, or whatever. Or your butt looks like a busted can of biscuits. Hey, you know what? You can fix your butt. Ask Kim Kardashian. You can fix your butt. You can do it.
Would you call what she had done fixing?
Hey, it's what she likes. She thinks it's fixing. It's fixing. Like, you can do that.
Yeah.
When you have money. If you broke and you ugly, too bad, you ugly. Get a good personality.
Make sure you're funny.
Yeah. Make sure you're just really nice and really smart. But if you got money and you ugly, we can fix that. We can make you pretty. We can make you pretty. But when you rich and you have CTE, it's a wrap. It's over. And on a human level, it's hard for me not to, like, at least be like, dang, I feel bad for that person.
It's really one of my greatest fears, personally, is losing your mind because there is truly nothing that you can do about it. You know, you can get cancer, and yes, it's a vicious, vicious thing, but a lot of the time it is treatable. Almost all of the time it is treatable, and you know, there's so many bad things that can happen, but so much of the time that it can at least be worked on. And losing your mind like that at this point with the technology that we have cannot. Like, my grandmother has had symptoms of dementia within the last year, and she obviously she's closing on 90 years old, but she you know, that's frustrating for her, and it's bothered her a lot. And you know, she's lived a full life and had had her mind with her for all of that time, and it's still terrible at that age. And I can't imagine. I truly can't imagine at Jamal Lewis's age.
In a similar boat.
Ugh.
Unless you've been on the receiving end of it, there's no feeling, there's no way to describe or put in words.
So helpless.
When a family member, especially a close one, recognizes a new presence in the room but has no idea who you are.
Oh, man, it's sad. I will say this, though, on the way out. Jamal, to me, gets all the grace in the world. He gets all the empathy in the world from me. Because he played during a time where that information was not available like it is now. Now, if you play now, you've made a conscious decision to say, you know what? I know that in 20 years, I may not be able to remember my kids. You have this information. And in 20 years, if we see another Jamal Lewis case, this is for Roberto, I would understand 100% those who would say, dude, you knew. Yeah. Like, you totally knew.
There's
you
knowledge.
You totally knew. Because in 2010 and beyond, there's movies, there's been lawsuits, there's been guys like Jacob Sales taking his own life. Like, there's been plenty of info, plenty of information, plenty of other cases to let you know that, man, this is what football can do to you if you play longer than you should. Like boxers. Like, Muhammad Ali played, he fought longer than he should because you look at how he was after he got out of the ring. That could be you if you don't shut it down at the right time. If you've had 7 concussions and you're having headaches and you're having trouble remembering things, it's time to let it go. If you play for another 3 or 4 years, and because of those 3 or 4 years, you do more damage, and then 20 years later, you having these problems, I may be with Roberto. Like, man, you did know. But for Jamal Lewis, not a lot of information when he was coming up about CTE and the long-term effects. So it's a great call from
Nobody's
Roberto.
Talking about that in the mid-90s.
Yeah, it's a great call from Roberto. It's a real call from Roberto.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call because it required us to have a real deep conversation about this issue of CTE. So great call by Roberto. I mean, I enjoyed it. So thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the time today. Remember, mark your calendars June 4th. Set your dial to 100.9 FM and 850 AM. This is where we'll be on Monday morning. The Swain event will be back live in the East Tennessee market on your dial. But everything else will stay the same. App, Swain Event TV, Swain Event Plus, everything will stay the same. Locally, we will be able to be heard on your ride home in the car without using your phone. So how about that? Have a great day. For Brad Matthews, Charlie Burris, and Jason Swain, the Swain Event is fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and love. We're out.